Up to the end of Perek Dalet, let us review from Pasuk Yud Zayin. Okay, let's start from, so we'll read the Pasuk Yud Zayin, and we have very little left to do. V'atikrana loy hashchenos shem lemar. The shchenos, they called the child the name lemar yulad bein lana ami. They called it, it's from the literal translation of the pasuk, it sounds like they called the name of the child yulad bein lana ami. That was the baby's name. Okay, let's get a review. Pasuk Yitzayin, v'atikrena lo hashchena shem lemo yula bein lano ami, v'atikrena shmoy oived hu avi Yishai avi David. He is the father of Yishai, the father of David. Oived is the grandfather of David. As we mentioned yesterday, ono Hashem ki ani avdecha ben amosecha. A person always connects himself back to his grandparents. That's what it says in my Matan Torah. Matan Torah is v'galta. What is that? I forgot the word of the pasuk. By Matan Torah, it says, "You shall teach your children." Leben, leGad, leVincha, leBen, Bincha, Yoyim Hashemad, leFnei Hashem, leKecha b'Chayav. David was cool at Torah. David, we know David was a night in his life did not go by where he did not spend his Chatzos, wake up Chatzos to learn Torah. David learned Torah every night. David was attached to Torah, and Torah always, we attach ourselves to the Messer, to the grandfather. David said, "Ani avdecha ben amosecha." Ruah said to Boaz, "Uforasta chinofecha al amosecha ki goelato." You shall spread your garment over your maidservant. She called herself a maidservant, and her child's name was Oved. Oved is the same shorish as Eved. Ani avdecha ben amosecha. I identify with my grandfather Oved, and that was the name that was given to David by the neighbors of Naomi, not even the neighbors of Rus. Okay, so let's see the Pasuk Yitzayin in the Targum. We did, let's review it again, just in case we did not do it. Pasuk Targum, Pasuk Yitzayin, Ukran le Shei Vavson Shum Lemeimar. The neighbors called, they gave forth the name saying, Is Yelid Bar Lenaomi, a child was born to Naomi, Vahavo Karan Shmei Oved, and they called his name Oved, Hu Avu the Yishai Avu the David, the father of Yishai, the father of David. I want to go back, I just forgot to mention a few short things yesterday. We learned the brachos that the neighbors gave, going back to the brachos that the people of the community, the zikanim and the elders gave Boaz at the time when he told them to serve as witnesses to this, that he would redeem her property and he would marry her. Chazal say that kala asura l'chosan b'loy bracha. A kala is forbidden to her husband without a bracha. In fact, we have 7 brachas. A lot of the laws of marriage are learned from the laws of the psukim we had before. And the Medrash takes note that indeed, if we carefully read the psukim, we will discover there are 7 brachas. The people, the zakenim, gave Boaz 7 brachas. Let me go back and read the find the Medrash. Here it is. Okay, this is back on Pasuk Yud Aleph. Back in Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Pasuk says, Vayomu kol ha'am asher b'shar v'hazikeinim edim. All of the people in the gate and the zikeinim, they said, yes, we serve as witnesses. Yitein Hashem es ha'isha abo'el b'isecha k'rochu ch'leya asher banu shteyem es beis Yisrael v'asechal b'yafrasu k'roshem b'veis lochem. And then it goes for Vives Chokves Peretz Asher Yoldo Tamar Liyehuda Min Azera Asher Yitin Hashem Lucha Min Hanara Hazos. So let me read you the Medrash. The Medrash first goes on to say and says Kala Lebracha Asur Lebala Kenida. A Kala that does not receive a bracha, is not made upon a kala, is forbidden to her husband like a nida. Ma nida shloi tovla asur lebala, af kala b'lebracha asur lebala. And then the Medrash goes on to elaborate that there are 7 brachas. Here they are. Number one is Yitain Hashem eso isha habo el beisecha. Medrash learns that itself is a bracha. Those words alone. May Hashem grant you an isha eso isha habo el beisecha. The fact that you should be married to an isha, period, is a bracha. Number two, kirochel, that's number two. Number three is uchaleya. That's three. Four, Asher banu shtehem es beis Yisrael. That is four. Five is v'asechayil be'efrasa, accomplish great things in Efrasa. And six, ukros shem beis lachem. And seven is v'hi veischa kiveis peretz. So indeed, we do find here a very interesting remez to the shiva brachas, the seven brachas that a chassan will make by chasna. We have that even over here, referenced over here in this episode, when the zakenim and the give a bracha to Boaz that he should be successful in taking this kala into his home. What do they do? They make a, there's a nusach. They don't make a bracha. There's but now with the Shema Malchus, But there's a whole right. There's a nusach right. Nechanami. Supposedly in the Chassan classes, all of these things are taught to the Chassanim. All they are in the Siddurim. In their certain things, they have all these. Ein Nechanami. Correct. Okay. Another thing I left out is there is a custom. When you sign a ksuba, if you ever signed a ksuba, you sign your name and then you sign the eid. Reuven ben Shimon eid. And there's even the question: if you leave out eid, is it a kosher signature? If you're signing a ksuba, you're signing a legal document. Rachman on a get you have to then it has to be done. Oh, that's another thing. Do you put in the last name? The witnesses put in the last name. Okay,
yeah,
sometimes not right. That's Rav Moshe wrote. Rav Moshe the Tshuva. He writes that before you go about the witnesses, let's talk about the Chasna Kala. On the Chasna Kala, when they write their name, when it's written into the Ksuba, are their names Lemishpachas so and so, Reuven Ben Shimon Lemishpachas Kohn. Is that done? So Rav Moshe, in fact, in the Tshuva, he writes that it should be done. It should be done. It's a good thing to do. But yet, Rav Moshe himself never did it. Rav Moshe, when he was Masada Kedusha, there are many people who have their ksuv from Rav Moshe. He was Masada Kedusha, and he never wrote in the Mishpacha so and so. Why is that so? I don't know. I don't know. I think I've heard of Herschel Schachter speaking about this.
It was a question many years later. Would it be easy if you had a family name to try?
Of course. The only reason the Gemara talks about a city where there are many people in the city have the same name. So when then you're supposed to Reuven ben Shimon ben Levi. If you live in a city where it's a very common name, the Gemara says it's so easy to confuse the people, you should write a third generation. So Moshe says that we live, Baruch Hashem, the population has grown to such a degree where it's very common people have the same name. Reuven ben Shimon, and Yahavi is very often. You have even in shul, I've seen this in shul more than once, when the Gabbai calls up Yamod, Reuven ben Shimon, whoever the person is, and two people come up. I've seen this. Two people come up. And the Gabbai, it's embarrassing. I meant you, not him. It's an embarrassing thing. So it's not so uncommon. So in order to clarify, Moshe, there's nothing wrong. Now the truth is that the Ksuba, the rules of the Ksuba and the rules of Tumah are very, very relaxed, because these are documents which are not the Oiraisa. The documents are the takon of a ksuba, according to some, is only midrabanan. If you do, even if the whole of a ksuba is deraisa, writing a document is not necessarily a deraisa. The takon, the fact that there is a ksuba, it's automatic. It's a default that there is a ksuba. This that we put it into writing is a hidur. It's just something which we go the extra mile to do, but it's not. The laws, the details of how a ksuba has to be filled out, there are a lot of leniencies that can be applied because it's not a biblical document. The only biblical document that is very problematic is a get. Rachman Litzlan, it's a very complicated document. It has to be written 100% correctly. There's even 1 month when a get is not given because we're not sure how to spell it. What is it? Is that ER maybe? It's. Remember, there's a cheshvan. No, not ma. You don't say ma. That's sir. You don't say the get. The word ma is not written. That's
why they don't want get cheshvan.
No, I think it's er. There are two yuds or one yud. Two yuds or one yud. I think it says in the Ramah that a get. Can you imagine the bezdin is off for 1 month? A divorce is not written in this month because we don't know. We're not sure how to spell it. Is it spelled with one yud or two yud? So therefore, it has to be written perfectly, and it might not be a kosher get unless. It's an aguna situation. When you're dealing with an aguna situation, and it's either now or never, then you don't play around. Then you write. Then you do. There are exceptions that are made, but it has to be written with the utmost precision. Part of the precision is that when the witnesses sign, they just don't sign their name; they sign their name aid, and that comes from the pasuk here. Vayomu chol ha'om asher bashar v'hazikenim aidim. Why do they have to say Edim? We are Edim. It's not just enough to say yes. They say Cain. The pasuk could have said Vayomu Cholam Asher B'Shar VaHazikainim Yitin Hashem. They could have just proceeded. They could have just proceeded and say Hashem should give you a bracha. Or the pasuk could have said Hazikainim Cain. So it should be. So it is. Why do they have to emphasize Edim? Yes, we serve as witnesses. This we learned that when you sign the document as a witness, it is ideal that you should also put in the name Eid. The Eid should be appended to your signature. And if you listen at a wedding, you'll hear Reuven ben Shimon Eid, Yehuda ben David. Aid. They'll always conclude off with the aid. You mentioned you also Yehuda ben Shimon Lemishpachas Bornstein. Aid, yes, sometimes they do that as well. But the aid is a critical part of the actual signature.
Sometimes they get married, just needed a kinyan and two witnesses, that was it.
Well, for marriage you don't need a document at all. Marriage,
yeah.
Ksuba is not part of what affects the marriage. That's just a side thing. The marriage is affected by the witnesses who observe
the kinyan.
And then you write a ksuba. That's a document. But he's making a kinyan. By this kinyan he's making over here, it's you don't need the witnesses to say we're witnesses. But since over here we're mentioning all the details and they're emphasizing that yes, we are witnesses, this goes to show that when a witness serves as a witness, it has to be crystal clear that yes, he is a witness. When you have a document, so when the witness is signed, it's an enhancement. So that's fine. When the witness is signed, they sign with the word aid. That is an enhancement to their signature.
Documentation is needed, like 10, 20 years later, if there's a problem with the...
Right, well...
Was it a real...
No, so you don't... according to Torah law, you don't need it. According to Torah law, there are witnesses. That the witnesses should come forward and testify that they got married. If the witnesses are no longer alive, it could be a problem. It's not, according to the Torah, it's not necessary. The husband and wife can say, I was married in front of witnesses. If the husband's... What?
Who was it?
The ksuba, it's about the marriage itself. He's saying that according to the one opinion of the Gemara, a document for a ksuba was never written. It was a guarantee. It was the default. Every woman, every wedding you go to, the ksuba is identical. Correct? We go to a wedding today. It's identical. Okay, the Sfaradim have a little different nusach. So why bother? They're married. They have a marriage license. They know they got married. If chas v'shalom, there's death and divorce. So whatever the tanai bezdin is, it should be done. So what are you afraid of? She'll come and she'll collect the tanai, her ksuba, more than once.
This is die, let's say 10, 20 years later, right? He can claim I was never married to her.
That's true. Okay, that's true. But if she, we believe that there people are ethical. It's a very serious matter. If he says he was never married, he doesn't have any real nafkamina because a man can, according to the Torah, can marry many wives. It's not a problem. She, if she's going to lie about it and say that she was never married, she's committing a terrible avera. Mm-hmm. But if she says, I was married in front of two kosher witnesses, doesn't believe, sir, the witnesses do not need to come forward. We believe her. Shavya chaticha di surah. She creates a legal status that she is an Eish Ish, and it's accepted. Okay, let's see further. Right, sometimes it's printed in right. Sometimes indeed it's printed in, so that's not ideal. It's ideal that the witness himself should write his own signature, should sign. But a ksuba doesn't make a difference. Because a ksuba, it's anyway, you can write your last name. A lot of things don't have to be 100% precise.
Aren't the witnesses, aren't the people at the wedding?
Yeah. So that's that. Yes, sometimes yes. So, technically speaking, everyone at the wedding is a witness. Everyone at the wedding is a witness. However, since there couldn't be among that group people who are not kosher to serve as witnesses, their relatives, and if you have 10 people that are designated as witnesses and one of them is a non-kosher witness, that one can ruin it for everyone.
I thought they don't see the.
Even if you don't see it, according to many, there's no rule that's going to be. Let's say there's a wedding. Let's say you go to a wedding. I don't know, in Ateres Avram in Williamsburg. There are 1,000 people. 1,000 people are invited, and the Masada Kedushin is not the swiftest. He's fatracht in learning, right? He's fatracht in learning, and they call him up to be a Masada Kedushin, and he just forgets to ask the person holding the microphone to call up witnesses. They just forget. It can happen, such a thing. And worse things have happened. And the chosin, the masad kedushin is there, and he says, okay, make the kedushin. And the chosin says, haram mikudesh asli. Tabas zok edas moshev. He surely puts the ring on. And there are no witnesses. No one's watching. Not even the photographer. The photographer was also, there's no one's taking videos, and there's no photographer. And there are 1,000 people sitting by the chuppah, and they're all schmoozing away. Turn off your cell phones, and everyone should remain quiet. Everyone's, and the chosin puts the ring on the kala, and then they call up the sheva brachas, and then they dance away. And then, the next day, they say, wait a minute, who are the witnesses? We forgot to designate witnesses. We forgot two people to watch. Is there any Rav today, any Orthodox rabbi today? And then there's a feud between the chosin and kala, chas v'shalom, and they decide they want to get divorced. So they said, listen, since there was no one there that was watching our Kedushin, the Messiah, their Kedushin, forgot to designate witnesses, to call up witnesses, so we don't need a get. We can save ourselves the expense of a get, going to the Beis Din, and the whole thing never happened.
It will happen the next day.
What?
The next day, whenever.
Can you do this?
Yeah.
There is no one that would say you don't need a get. The fact, I've heard this from different rabbanim, from different shiurim and the fact that everyone was invited to a wedding. You got an invitation in the mail. They printed 1,000 invitations. Everyone showed up. There was an audience of 1,000 people sitting in the audience. And they called up a person in Masada Kedushin. And the chosin put the ring on the kala. Everyone, the chosin agrees that he gave her Ketabas Kedushin. And there were people in the room. And that's what you were invited for. The wedding, there was an invitation that says, we invite you to the wedding of our children, so-and-so. You came to this gathering. It was clearly for the purpose of... The girl was wearing a white gown. The chosin was wearing a tuxedo. That black hat to top it off, and he gave her a tabas kedushin, and he said harayat, and there were people in the room. That's enough. Me'ikar hadin, that is more than enough. They are 100% married. Liyeser se'es, in order to make it perfect, we designate two witnesses who we know are kosher, to the exclusion of all others that are not relatives, that should not serve as to create problems, and they watch very carefully. And if they're in briska, they're going to make sure they don't blink. They're going to control. They're going to practice the night before their eye movements that they don't blink, so they don't miss a microscopic second of when he puts the tabas. These are all hidurim, but it's not me'ikar hadin. So that's it's assumed that anyone that is a relative in the audience is not here to make trouble. I'm not here to be mechavin to witness this event in order that I should be a korov apostle. Someone's a relative and disqualified. That is not the objective. Okay, let's go.
Can they say it to the exclusion of all others?
They do. The question is, that an ideal? We discussed this. They say to the exclusion of all others. Is that there's a difference of opinion among the posts if that is advisable? If that's a good thing to say, because let's say these two witnesses. Let's say you find out one day that one of these two witnesses is possible. He's a criminal. Someone who is you never know what's going on by doing with someone else. People that you always hear these stories. The last person in the world you thought would be involved in such a thing, and so then it creates a real problem. He's a ganef. A ganef is possible. It's possible eidos. So what do you want to say, that he did tshuva? The stage fright caused him the moment before he went up. He did tshuva at charata. Is that good enough? You never know what's going to happen. So to say to the exclusion of all others, then you mean that only these two other witnesses. No one else in the audience is allowed to be a witness. And then 10 years later, we discover that one of these two people was really possible eidos because of problems, business problems that he may have had at that point in time, or who knows what, or maybe they never really do this whole scale. Who knows? Maybe it's going to happen. There's going to be a relative. You hear horror stories all the time. Rav Shachter, he had some fascinating shiurim on Kiddushin. A lot of horror stories where people who are about him don't know the rules of kriyim of relatives, and they call up people as witnesses who are relatives. And you have a relative, then he's not a kosher witness. So if you don't say to the exclusion of all others, you leave out that expression. So I designate these two people as witnesses, but there are more witnesses. They can be in the audience. There are another 500 people that are sitting in the audience are also witnesses because they got the invitation. They're sitting here. They see in the front there's movement. They see something going on. They know that the chassid said harayat. So b'di'evet, everyone in the audience also is a kosher witness, even though they did not see the minute details of what took place. They already got the impression of what took place. That's a good enough kedushin, and you don't have to make trouble years later. But if you do say to the exclusion of all others, they're all out. You only have two people, and these two people may be problematic, and then you're not going to have a kedushin. So it's not necessarily the best thing to do to say to the exclusion of all others.
Isn't that a problem for most of Feinstein's rules? What if we say it's a reform wedding, and there are more than two from people who are part of the family, you know, who are there for whatever reason? That would mean that it's assumed
you come to in front of a group of people and you're a relative. It's assumed that you're not a witness. You're not there by default.
No, I mean the opposite. You're not relatives. It's a reform wedding. Moshe Feinstein ruled that it's not a wedding. It's not a marriage. But if there were two, if they always give a ring, and if there are two. People there.
Okay, I don't know. I'm not familiar with all the details of the Pesach of Moshe. I don't know the answer. It's not necessarily so that if you go to a reform wedding, it's not a kosher kedushin. You're talking about a civil marriage.
Well, like a reform wedding. Okay. He held that it wasn't legitimate, so they didn't need a get, right?
Okay, I'm not so sure. It's not so simple. Okay, I don't know the answer. I'm not familiar with the details, but there's a Machlokes of Moshe Rav Henkin about a civil marriage. Okay, let's leave it with this. Okay, let's go further. Now the Pesukim begin to list the Yichus of David, the Yichus of something else I want to mention, another important idea. Chazal tell us that this night here she gave birth to a child. Batikach Naomi has a yelid. She gave birth 9 months later. Hashem gave her Heroyon. We discussed yesterday Heroyon's bigmatria 271, exactly 271 days she gave birth to a child. And it says that Naomi took the child. There's no longer any mention of Boaz. Boaz is out of the picture. According to Chazal, we have a tradition, Boaz died that night. We mentioned this 2 days ago. It says in the pasuk the word Hayom twice. Boaz was Niba, the Eni Yodea Ma Niba. He was not even aware that what he said was coming and come true, that he would die right after he married and he had relations with Rus Hamovia. Now the question is, what was the reaction by the Hamon Am to the death of Boaz? And this is something that is very true today. People are always looking at the short term results of a person's policies, a person's decisions. Boaz definitely did something very controversial. Rus did something very controversial. Rus is a Gioris. She's coming from a foreign nation. What is every time a Gioris comes forward, they always suspect, what are your true motives? And then she converts very quickly, and she marries, and she goes to the field, and she lies then at the feet of Boaz. And the next thing is, Boaz marries her. How can Boaz marry a Moaviah? It says in the Torah, Lo Yavai Amoni Moavi. Well, the day before, Boaz paskins, he decides, in Beis Din, Moavi V'loi Moavis, and he gives the Goyel an opportunity to take his place. The Goyel says, no, okay, I'm going to do it. To the average person, doesn't seem right. Something here does not seem right. And then, to top it all off, he dies. He dies the night of his wedding. How would the average person react to such an event? Going back in ancient times where people were very holy people, they were accustomed to miracles, they witnessed miracles often.
Divine,
they would say, divine retribution. Hashem struck him down. Hashem struck him out. He did something that was shaloi kedin. He did a terrible, terrible avera. He was murder a halacha that was shaloi kedin. Hashem sent down a bolt of lightning and took him out.
Why did he take him out before he had the relations with that?
Like Machlon and Kilion.
Machlim and Kilion done exactly. Machlim, exactly what the girl said. The girl said, "Lo uchal lahashkes asnachalasi." What are you kidding? You're playing with fire here. She's a katlonis. She's a murderer. What?
How did he get pregnant?
What?
What are the Shem and divine retribution? Why didn't you strike them down before he had?
Oh, so in a chanami, and look what became. But the short term, and people probably didn't know that she was pregnant until at least 3 months later. Who knew she was pregnant? They didn't have any Hashem knew. But what was the reaction of the average man? The average man in class. If we put ourselves there, the average person would say that Boaz behaved inappropriately. Okay, Boaz behaved, his behavior was incorrect, it was not appropriate for someone of his stature to marry a Ford. First of all, the age difference. It's scandalous. It's scandalous even among Goyim. Scandalous. So certainly among Klal Yisrael, for an 80-year-old man to marry a 40-year-old girl, she's a Geyoris. The whole thing doesn't work. Oh, good! Hashem struck him out. A bolt of lightning came down from Shemayim and he died that night. What would be the reaction? There's no question when the Torah says, Lo Yovi Amoni Umoyov Bekal Hashem, it includes even women. It is clearly forbidden. That would be the reaction that the average person would... For a Moavis. The Psak Halacha, a Moavis. Rus is forbidden to come into Klal Yisrael because she's not Jewish. She's from a nation that the Torah says, Lo Yovai Amoni Umoavi Bikal Hashem. That would be the reaction.
The raya would be that she's Geras.
What?
He might have been a Geras.
Right, no, that's exactly the question. The question was her conversion valid? Is it accepted in halacha? Boaz had to issue a psak, a halachic decision, that her Geras is valid. And this was controversial. Many people disagreed. They disagreed with this psak for many generations until it was finally accepted. And the reaction of a person who dies right away... not for me. She's a real killer, this woman. She killed Machloin Kilioin, and now she's Boaz. Stay far away. And then all of a sudden they discover, guess what? Headline news 3 months later, guess who's pregnant? Guess who's pregnant? Ruth is pregnant. Oh my, she's pregnant. How did this happen? Well, how would they look at the child? Illegitimate. They would say the child's like a mamzer. This child is a reminder, a permanent reminder for the sin of Boaz. That, it was an uphill battle. That is the way the common man would react, is expected to react to such an event. It was an uphill battle. The only ones, it's very interesting, the only ones that came to defend the army were the friends. Hashachenos. You know, it's very interesting, when the average person, when you hear about a scandal, Rachman Litzlan. So the average person, it's very easy, good for him, they got him. They nailed him. They got him. But what happens if it's someone you know? It's your family. It's your friend, your family. You're not so quick to you're not so quick to, let's say this person, you know, my family, he was Mesadir Kedushin for me. He was Mesadir of my father. He was the one that presided at all of the funerals and all the bar mitzvahs. He's like a family. It's not so easy to take a person that you are close with, whether you're family or whether he's a close friend. And now when there's a scandal, just to wipe him away and say, to just get rid of him. It's to condemn him. It's very interesting that the only one that came to her defense is the Shechinus. The Pasuk here is making a very powerful statement. A lot of the Pesukim are not necessary. We want to be Miyachis David. We can Miyachis David with a few Pesukim. We can put this in the whole episode. We can really include in Sefer Shoftim. The whole Sefer Rus is not, Megillah Rus is not necessary. All of the important information to be Miyachis, that David is the descendant of Yishai, and we can be Mekatze, the whole story, we can put in Sefer Shoftim. The fact we're making a Megillah and we're elaborating is every word speaks volumes. Why only the Shechinos? Why doesn't the world, why doesn't the media, why are all the blogs and all the newspapers saying, look at the beautiful thing that happened. Look, this woman, the army, this is a story that, you know, you can make a movie out of this story. Right? Well, they have now. But go back then. No one's interested. There's no market. This is scandalous. This is scandalous. The child is illegitimate.
Even a better movie, but
okay, today it's a better movie. But in the good old days, the child's illegitimate. The child is a reminder of scandal. Of look a great holy rabbi. A great holy rabbi was caught making a terrible halachic decision. The Rabbanut wiped him out. The analogies to today's times, you don't have to search very far. What you would say? And so who's the only one that came to the defense? The only people that really have no choice. Your next door neighbor. If your next door neighbor is caught in a scandal, you're not gonna condemn him. He's my neighbor. He's you. A neighbor, that's part of life. Your family, your friends, when they suffer, you suffer. You just can't abandon them. That's the way it is. That's the way it should be. Everyone deserves support. No matter how, in the jail system, the correction system, it's really supposed to be rehabilitation. So your friends and your neighbors, they're the ones that are there to rehabilitate you, to support you. The pasuk here says the only one that came to her defense were the shechinos. Vatikren eloi hashechinos shem lemar. The shechinos, they called out, they gave forth. The words are very hard to translate because there are two names. There's shem lemar. And then there's Vatikrenos Shemo. Shame is not the same thing as a name. The Shechinos, they gave her a name. They said, don't read what it says online. Don't look what it says. Don't go to those websites and where they condemn you and they say, Boaz, Hashem struck out. We are here for you. We will give you a shame. Vatikreno lo hashchenos shame lemar means they gave Naomi a shame. This is Jush, but it's also Pshat. They gave Naomi a life. The world is condemning you. Don't go there. We're your friends. We're your community. We're going to give you support. We're going to give you a new name. We're going to give you a new passport, a new name. You'll have a new life. You'll live among us. You're one of us. We're here to support you, even though there's a scandal out there in the world. And they told her, Yulad Bein La Naomi, he's not illegitimate. You don't have to be embarrassed. It doesn't say in the pasuk, Yulad Mamzer La Naomi. It says, Yulad Bein La Naomi is a legitimate child. And the world may think that Boaz made a mistake and the proof is in the pudding because he was struck out. Time will tell. He'll be vindicated. The day will come when the world will acknowledge Boaz did nothing right. It's very easy to judge. What? Nothing wrong. And Adrabah, what he did was 100% correct. But the problem is, when you look at the short-term results, the appearance, it's very difficult for a politician to make a policy that takes years to succeed. You have to plant the seeds now. Every so often you hear in the news that today there's a certain area in the economy or in the world, there's great success. And if you trace what are the roots of this, why there's success, we go back 40 years because there was a president 40 years ago that passed the law. And at the time when he passed the law, it was a bitter dispute and it was very unpopular. At the time it was unpopular. It took 40 years for this policy to take root and to accomplish and to achieve. But at the time it wasn't popular. At the time it wasn't popular because he died. He died and no one knew why he died. And it's very easy to shoot from the hip and say the reason why that was because Hashem is punishing him. And that was the reaction. But the Shechina said, Naomi, don't listen to them. We're going to give you a shame. We're going to give you a name among us. We're going to be a close-knit group, a support group for you. And by us, it's Yulad Bein La Naomi. It's a legitimate child. And don't worry, the day will come when the whole world will acknowledge that this child is indeed the ancestor of Melech HaMashiach. And that's what the next person will go down to say. What?
It doesn't vindicate
Boaz. It vindicates Boaz. The fact that David became the Melech.
It vindicates Naomi. Naomi probably...
Right. Naomi is because Naomi was a partner in the plan.
She's not even mentioned
yet. Naomi is a partner in the plan. Naomi is an equal partner in the plan.
Right. Naomi was pushing Rus doesn't mention Rus yet.
That's why Rus.
So we mentioned this yesterday. Rus, some learned that Rus died.
What?
According to one of the Midrashim, Rus died immediately also. She died very shortly after she gave birth. To to Oved, and that's why Naomi was the Oimenes. What's Naomi doing raising the grandchild? Today it's not a kasha. Today the parents are working. But
Ruth was sitting next to Shlomo.
We mentioned that yesterday. So we mentioned the contradiction. We discussed the conflict in the Midrashim. We mentioned this yesterday. So one Midrash says that she lived a very long life all the way until the time of Shlomo Melech. Another Midrash says that she died right away. That's why Yav Midrashim, which are Chalukides. I told you there are two of the chiluk edeos. There's one opinion that says that she's alive. She had a ima shel malchus. Another opinion says no, that she died. Okay, so this is a very you should never second guess. What is the Musar Haskell? The Musar Haskell for this is things are always happening in the news. Things happen among us, and it's very easy. Oh, you know why this person got sick? You know why he has the tzara? You know why his child? This happened to this one's child. It's always easy to say, oh, because there's something no good by him. There's something no good he's doing. This or there, that or there. It's always very easy to second guess. What?
Usually you comment that this is a Musar
problem. It is. Certainly it is.
But you're not saying...
You don't know the real story. It was very unpopular. It was only a small group of people, the Shechenos, that were willing to be Dan Lekaf Schuss.
Usually you comment the Musar quick people on.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. What?
That's exactly what he's saying.
People are quick to jump on the Absolutely. Go online. You don't have to go very far.
That's
the truth. That was the truth.
Yes.
But the coincidence is too great.
He's dead.
Yeah.
If it says Banks led an army, wouldn't it assume that what she's doing, she's adopting the baby, and she's taking on? I mean, if you adopt a child. And then you have a bris, a baby that's 1 month, 1 day old, you adopt them. It's your child.
We mentioned this yesterday. The Chazal learned from this pasuk called Magadel Yosayim B'Sech Beso Ki Ilu Yoldo. A person adopts a child; it's as if he gave birth to that child.
Right.
It is derived from this pasuk.
Nothing to do with this anymore.
Why not? Who's the biological mother?
Because if the child is a guy. If the child is a guy and she accepts him as adopts him,
yeah,
then the child becomes
But the question is, why did Naomi adopt the child when there's a mother to take care of the child? What is the grandmother doing with the child? What's the difference? Why would the mother disappear? The mother would be proud to have a child. No one knows. Whatever the
child of the child of Jewish.
Okay, let's go further.
If the child is adopted, then the child becomes Jewish.
I don't understand that.
If the child is a Mayavi, he can't become Jewish even if the Rosh Hashiva adopts him.
Okay, now this point... Okay, Dr. Fuchter... This point is an interesting end to Sefer Rus, and where it leaves a very different impression than Megillas Esther. Okay, we have another Megillah, Megillas Esther and Megillas Rus. Megillas Esther is an unusual hashkacha pratis, unusual chance. What are the chances that Mordechai happened to be listening there when Big Son of Seresh? What are the chances that Esther would be, everything, I don't have to go through the whole story, everything happened to fall into place. And when you look back, wow, it's the Yad Hashem. Here, there are a lot of things that happened by accident as well. But how do people react?
By coincidence.
Things happen by coincidence, and what would be the natural reaction? Hashem is punishing him. The truth is, it was a coincidence that Boaz happened to die the night of his wedding. It was a coincidence. Boaz was 80 years old. His time has come. Every person is in this world for a certain... It was a coincidence. So, in the Megillah, the coincidences were so obvious, it's the Yad Hashem. Here, the Nisayon is, the coincidences are obvious to the average person that an Avera was done. A scandal has occurred. He died. Hashem is doing unusual things. There are coincidences to show us terrible how dearest, like Yochanan a Kohen Gadol. His whole life he was a tzaddik, and the very end he became a tzaddik, the very last moment. Here we have Boaz with tzaddik, Yisraelim was a Navi, and the very last moment, the Gadol Hadar, and the very last moment he decides to paskin halacha, he wants to go marry, he has negias, he likes this young girl, a 40-year-old girl, scandalous, 80-year-old man wants to marry a 40-year-old girl, he wants to marry her, he paskins halacha, she's mutter. Lo yovi amoni yumavi b'kal Hashem. Who ever heard a chiddush like this? Moyavi v'loy moyavis. Who could say such a thing? Exactly. Conflict of interest. Exactly. Scandalous. And look at that. He died the night after he married her. What a coincidence. Like Megillas Esther. But instead of Megillas Esther, the coincidence is so amazing. It's so obvious that it's the Yad Hashem. Here the coincidence is Hashem is punishing him for doing the terrible Avera. And this book has to be put in Geniza. It's a scandal that should never be repeated. And yet it's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. This is the birth of the Melech HaMashiach. Shmuel HaNavi himself comes along. Shmuel HaNavi was one of the greatest prophets. And he himself says, says that this is the Mashiach Hashem. Shmuel HaNavi himself puts the stamp of legitimacy upon David HaMelech, upon what Boaz has done. It was the Yad Hashem. It was the Yad Hashem. So there's, we're ending off on a very different note than Megillas Esther. Yeah?
Shmuel, it was Shmuel HaNavi who put this all on the record.
And he was the Navi, and he legitimized it. He said that Neged Hashem, Neged, what was the passage? Meshichai. He's the one that said in the name of Kadosh Baruch Hu that David is legitimate. Okay, let's go to the next passage. Now we begin to list some of the generations. The Eila told us now, once we conclude that this event, the Eila told us Paretz. The following are the generations of Paretz. Paretz is the son of Yehuda, who was born through from Tamar. Paretz Hoylid es Chetzroin. Rashi Pasuk Yitesh told us Paretz Lefi Sheyiches es David Al Shema Shel Rus Hamoviyah Chazar VeYichasu Al Shem Yehuda. Once we already have ascribed the Yichus of David to Oyved, now we go back and we trace David's lineage all the way back to the Avos. And that itself is also a powerful lesson. Yichus, just like we know that a person has multiple names, the name that his parents give him, the name that his neighbors, his friends call him, and the name that he makes for himself, Yichus. A person has more than one type of Yichus. There's your close Yichus, and then there is your long-term Yichus. Short-range Yichus, and long-range Yichus. First, we mentioned, who is David? David is an Einikol. He's an Einikol of Oyved. You want to know, I can tell you, you know one person named Shaduchim. Who is the person? Well, who is his father? What is the family Davin? What kind of family? What to tell me about who's the family? What? And then you say, and by the way, oh, he's an Einikol from the Rishna. He's an Einikol from the Chasam Sofer. You go and you mention the long-term Yichus, and there's something to it. There's something to, you know, you hear about people, oh, this person's a Ben Achar Ben from the Gra. But unfortunately, he's not Shomer Shabbos. He's not Shomer Shabbos. Ben Achaben, you shake a Ben Achaben from the Gur that's not Shomer Shabbos. We got to do something for him. We got to go and we have to full force send all the Kiruv organizations after him and make sure we straighten him out. But you want to take him for your daughter? Not exactly. Not exactly. I don't, you know, whatever. I don't have to exaggerate. Okay, not yet. You have to know who the person is. Who is the person? Is short-term Yichus. But it's also good to have some background, the DNA, where they come from. That is what the Pasuk here is teaching you. Every person, you got to know now, who is he? Who is his grandfather? Who is he? Who is he short-term? And now tell me, I would like to know the long-term Yichus. Where does he come from? He comes. He's a Pailasha. he's a Galtziana. Tell me where he comes from, the long-term Yichus, and that's what we do. First, the pasuk is Avi Yishai Avi David. David is the grandson of Oyved, and then we go back to the Eila told us Peretz, the Yichus going way, way back to the Sharashim, Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov Avinu, son Yehuda, so on and so forth. Peretz Halid. Everyone, you can do the spy. We just happened to be discussing, well, there the Chazal said they don't want to be Yaakov after Yaakov Avinu. There are different reasons, different Lamari Chazal, why each particular individual we focus on certain people, certain ancestors or not. Yaakov was a Mespalo, he should not be connected to a certain person because the Aver was so severe. Okay, but let's focus in general over here. We have here this idea is mentioned specifically in reference to David HaMelech, short term, long term. Now we mention the word the word Peretz is repeated twice next to each other, Peretz and Peretz. The Medrash says if you study Tanakh, only a few individuals were zoche to have their name mentioned twice, repeated next to each other in some form. Vayomer Avraham, Avraham. Who else? Moshe, Moshe. Noach, Noach. There are a few individuals, and here we have Peretz. Ve'el told those Peretz. Peretz, Hulides Chetzo. Now, of course, Hashem is not speaking, Hashem is not calling, but the Pasuk is describing.
Like a post-Sovich.
But it just so happens that their name is repeated twice. And this, according to Chazal, is an indication that this person is a tzaddik in this world and a tzaddik in the next world. He's noichel olam hazeh and he's noichel olam haba. There are no skeletons in the closet. Not in this world, not in the next world. That's when this again is only said about select individuals.
There's a vav.
Right, they have a vav. Right, I didn't notice that. There's a vav. Ram viram, ke aminadav ve'aminadav, nachshon ve'nachshon. Salmon doesn't work because they're two different names. Two different ways of describing him. Salmo and Salmon, and Boaz uBoaz. Right, this again. Uvoivides Yishai v'Yishai holides David. Okay, so they all vavs. So this is now. There's another very important medrash on this pasuk, and that is in reference to the double vav of the word toledos. The word toledos appears in Tanakh many times. But every single time, with only two exceptions, is it spelled either with either no vavs or one vav. You have vav in the beginning, vav at the end. I once came across a Dvar Torah, analyzed all the toldos, why sometimes it has a vav in the beginning, and omits the vav at the end, vav at the end, at the beginning, but at least here is one of only two times in the entire Tanakh where it has a double vav. Where is the other place where the word toldos is spelled double vav? In creation. Right. Toldos shamayim v'aretz bihi, elu toldos shamayim v'aretz bihi baram. It says the word toldos, the generations of the earth, on the heaven of the earth, when it was created, Bihi Baram, there the word Toldos is spelled with a double Vav. Why double Vav? So let me read you the Medrash. When Hashem created the world, it was truly complete. It was Mole. The world was meant to produce, to go forward, to produce generations of people and of everything. Teva, to reproduce in a full form. Full form is symbolized with the complete spelling, two vavs. However, after the chait of Adam HaRishon, the chait Eitz Hadas, Hashem said, no longer will the world continue to exist in its complete form. Global warming. There are going to be problems. There's going to be deficiencies. Things are going to be taken. Man will no longer live forever. Man will no longer be. There will be problems, and therefore one of the vavs will always be missing throughout the remainder of Tanakh until the coming of Mashiach. With the coming of Mashiach, Mashiach will restore the world to its original pure state, and the vavs will then come back once again.
Well, you mentioned earlier about six.
All right, so what are the six? So another reference to the six, very interesting. We want to connect this vav to the six things, the six brachos, the six qualities. And here we have the six qualities of the Mashiach, six individuals upon which the Torah enumerates six qualities. Now, what are, okay, that's a different, but what are the six different milos that were taken from the world? So the Medrash explains, let me read you what the six items are. The Elohein, Zivai means the Ma'or Panav. When Adam was created, his face radiated. That radiation, it was a good radiation, was diminished. Zivoy, Zivoy, okay, that's his radiation. Next, Chayav. Adam, radiance. Number two is Chayav. Adam was meant to live forever. And through the chait of the Eitz Hadas, he, Gezer of Misa was put upon him. Number three, Vikoimasoi, his stature. Stature means whatever that means, either his height, but it means really his stature. Next is Ufri Haaretz, the fruits, the tam, the flavor of the fruits were taken. We don't know what fruit really tastes like. What we taste today in a fruit is nothing compared to its original pure flavor. Number three is Peros, the Peros Haaretz, the product of the earth, meaning grains. The taste of grain has been diminished. Number four is Uperos Haaretz. Next is Umoirois, the luminaries, the Shemesh, the Areach.
The Yemech was diminished.
So was that related to Adam HaRishon? Possibly, even though Adam came before the creation. But whatever it means is that due to the Chet, the Eitz Hadas, to some degree the Ma'oros were also diminished. And that indeed is number six. Someone Zivoy, Chayov, Koimasoi, Pri Ha'aretz, Peros Ha'ilon, and Ume'oros. These are the six things that were diminished at the time of creation, at the Chet Eitz Hadas. And that's why from there on in, the word Toldos is always spelled without one or both of the Vavs. But now, with the birth of Melech HaMashiach, this will be reinstated, and therefore we can spell the word Toldos again with Mole, with both Vavs. Okay, next pasuk. So the Eila told us. So let's see over here the Targum pasuk. There's not much in these Targumim. We'll see. The Targum says the Lein told us Paretz Paretz Oileid Yos Chetzroin. Okay, next pasuk Yutes the Chetzron Hoylides Ram. Chetzron gave birth to Ram. V'Ram Hoylides Aminadav. Let's see pasuk. We'll loop them together. We'll do Aminadav. Hoylides Nachshain. The Nachshain Hoylides Salma. This Salmoin. Here you can catch the Balkore. Even though it's at the end of the Pasuk Chaf, it says Salma, but the Pasuk Chaf, we spell it Salmon. We'll discuss that in one moment. Hoylid es Boaz, uVoaz hoylid es Oyved, Oyved hoylid es Yishai, VYishai hoylid es David. Let's see the Targumim of all of these Targum of all of these Pesukim. There are no Rashi's left. Okay, let's see the Targum starting with Pasuk Chaf. He was the Nasi. He was the great man among his family's home. Leves Yehuda. V'nachshon yoled yos Salma. Now, who is Salma? So here he explains who is Salma. Tzadika. We're calling Salma not just by his name, but he was a tzaddik. Who Salma? Who is this person? Who Salma min Beis Lechem? He is the Salma from Beis Lechem. V'no tofa. And he was, now the word notofa means he was, min tzadikim sheshmoisam tov kinoifes. Noitef means balsam. It's a, one of the ingredients to besamim. He, v'noitofa, he was a pleasant fragrance to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He wasn't just a tzadik, he was a tzadik that gave off fragrance. He was a tzaddik. Devatilu vinohi feruzvin da'aysev. He was a tzaddik that his descendants are the ones that were mevatel the guards that prevented Klal Yisrael from min oile l'regel. We know that the malchus of Klal Yisrael was divided between Rechavam and Yeravam ben Nevat. Yeravam took with him 10 shvat and broke away from the malchus of Yehuda, and he prevented them. He was afraid that if they would be oile l'regel, the Sholosh Regalim, they would realize that what they're doing is a mistake by rebelling against Shevet Yehuda, and they would return. So to prevent them from going to the Beis HaMikdash, he set up centuries. Einochnami, who was his descendants. His descendants. Einochnami, that's what Targum is coming to elaborate upon. His descendants are the ones who stopped. They are the ones that ultimately took away these centuries, these guards, and allowed their brethren to be oil l'regel, and that brought about the reunification of the Shvatim, at least to some degree. Who Salmon, let me read again one terms. Devatilu vino, he his descendants, Feruzvin. Feruzvin means the officers. Do I save Yeravam, that Yeravam Chayava, Chayava the wicked one. Chayava always in the Targum means the Rasha, Al Orche upon the roads, Fahavon and Vahavon Ovadei of, they.
Of men.
Of Uvin. Uvenin Yoayon, and their children were beautiful, kino toifa, like noifes. The word we had before.
The father and the sons worked together to break through the mm-hmm.
And that they their vayda was
their deeds was pleasant to Hashem. V'halva Ovodei, their deeds were pleasant to Hashem. Ovodo of Uvinin, the father and son, their deeds were pleasant together. Yo Ayon, the deeds of the father and his children, all of the descendants, Salma plus all of his descendants were pleasing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kino Tofo, like this ingredient, this fragrance that is given off from this thing called the spice called Noifes. Okay, so that's this Targum. Let's go to the next Targum. The next Targum, Pasuk Chaval, V'Salmoin Oileid Yos Ivtson. So here we're calling this an important Targum as we have this discussion, who is Boaz? So here the Targum very clearly says, we had this in the Gilead Sefer as well, the Targum clearly defines Boaz as Ivtson the Negida, the Nogid. He was the Nogid, which we're calling him, he's calling him the Nogid, which the Shefet. He was the Negido who Boaz Sadiqa. This is Boaz the Tzadik, the Al Zuchusei, due to his merit, Ish Te Zavu Amo, he saved his nation base Yisrael Miyad Baalei Devo Vehon from the enemies. The word Devo Vehon means enemies. Uvigin Tzilosin, due to his prayer, Ado Chofno, the famine came to an end. Me'aro di Yisrael. So here he describes two great qualities of Boaz. Number one, he saved Klal Yisrael from their enemies. He was their leader in war. Number two, he was mespalo that the famine should come to an end. Uvoaz oileid yos oiveid. Boaz gave birth to oiveid. Diflachu is oiveid. Here the Targum defines the meaning of the word oiveid. Diflachu served Lemori Alma, the Ribbono Shel Olam, Belev Shalim, with a complete heart. So we learn here in this pasuk a lot about Oyved according to the Targum. Okay, pasuk Chaf Beis, V'Oyved Oyled Yossi Yishai. Oyved gave birth to Yishai. Now who is them? We have a very long Targum over here. What about Yishai? The Miskiri Nochosh. Yishai is called by the name Nochosh. Why? The snake. Begin the law ish tekechas be ilah. He did. They did not find an aver ilah ushechisa is me sora bido de malacha de mosa that he should be given over to the malacha mabes. Yishai did not do one aver in his entire life that he should deserve to die. He should deserve to be given over to the malacha mabes. One of the simple nagdim avera. Lemisav yosei nafshei to give over his neshama to the malacha mabes. Vachayo yomin sagiin. He lived a very long life. Ad itkar kodam Hashem, until he was mentioned before Hashem. The eighth, it was mentioned before HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it's not fair for a person to live forever. Every person has to die due to the poison of the snake, the Nochash HaKadmoini. The Nochash caused Chava to sin, and that brought death to the world. So even if a person has not done an Aveiro, he still has to die. Ad Idkar was mentioned, Kodam Hashem Eita. Eita means the advice. Dihav, Chivya, the snake gave L'Chava. Itas, Adam, the wife of Adam, L'Mechal Min Ilana, to eat from the tree, the Achle Perohi, that if you eat from this food, Chakimin Lida Bein Tavlevish, the Eitz Hadas Bein Tov L'Ra, if you eat from this food, the food from this tree, you'll know the difference between Tov L'Ra, V'yalahu Eita, and due to that advice, that counsel that was given by the Nochash to Chava, Ischayavu Mosa Kol Diyore Ara. Every living creature in this world has to die no matter what. Uvahi ilo, and because of that advice, Shechiv Yishai Tzadiko, that's why Yishai had to die. So we learn from this Targum a few very important things. Number one, he had another name. His name was also called Nachash. And the reason why his name was Nachash was because the only reason why he died was because of the Ityoy Shal Nachash. The advice that the Nachash gave to Chavit, even the Tzadas, that brought death to the world, even for Tzadikim Gemurim. Who Yishai, Doiled Yos David, Malko, the Yishol, this is Yishai. They gave birth to David. Over here, the Targum says, not just David. David has, doesn't have his another name, he has a title. His name is Malko di Yisrael. Okay, that is the last Targum of this pasuk. Okay, now before we conclude, there are a few other things. I want to just conclude one fascinating idea. Yeah, we did the Rashi test, the double ichos, the ichos, the short term ichos and the long term ichos. Okay, there's a very fascinating I don't even know if it's a medrash. This is a maisa that is recorded by the Rama Mipano. Rama Mipano is a Kabbalah Sefer. The Chido was on big Mekubal. And the Chido records the story, he says, I think 16 times in his Svarim. They actually counted. Someone went through the effort of counting the number of times he brings down this story. Give me one second. He quotes it over here. Here it is. Hamaisa Hanal, the maisa I'm going to tell you now, Huva. Bikisve Rama Mipano, Besefer Gilgulei Neshamas, Erech Yishai Ve'oid. Uvi Yosef Tehilos Lahachida, in the Sefer called Yosef Tehilos Lahachida, Perek Mem, Al HaPasik, Ozamarti, Hinei Bosi, B'Megillah Sefer, Kosov Alai, V'Hamagia Sham Tzien, L'Sheish Esrei Mekoymo Sheharav Chida, Maskir HaMaiz Shal Yishai VeHashifcha. The story I'm about to tell you is recorded there by the Chida 16 times. Again, it's cited in the Rama Mipano as well. And V'Reisi Litzayin, I want to point out, the Mechaber says here, Shamakor HaKoydem, the earliest source for this story is found in the writings of the grandson of the Rambam. Shabi Adeinu L'Maisa Zehu B'Divrei Rabbi David HaNogid, David the Prince, Nechtoi Shel HaRambam. So in other words, this story is not a medrash. At least not a medrash that we know of. There is no question there are medrashim that are lost from us. But this story somehow has been preserved as tradition. Okay, so we're going down from the grandson of the Rambam, which is about, we're dealing with about 700 years. That's it. That's the earliest source that this story was put into writing. Not like Midrashim, which go back 2,000 years. Okay, so we don't have this. It's a relatively new story, but it's the Chida says he authenticates the story. And it goes something like this. Yishai, living at this point in time, when he had already 7 children. And Yishai, it bothered him to no end that people were saying about him, as he mentioned before, that he is illegitimate. Because he comes from Boaz and from Rus. He is a product of Boaz and Rus. And Rus was a Moaviyah. Lo yovei amoni umoi bekal Hashem. And this psak halacha of was not fully accepted. It was very controversial. And the proof is, look what happened to Boaz. The day after he made the Pesach Nidah, as we mentioned before, he was struck out. He was struck out by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it certainly was not a good decision on his part. So he felt that my yichus is questionable. He did not, being that Yishai was a very holy tzaddik, it bothered him to leave this world without leaving over seed, children that are 100% legitimate. But what's he to do? Whoever he marries, the child follows the yichus of the father. Yichus, if you're Jewish or not, it follows the yichus of the mother. But if you are Jewish, then the yichus always follows the father. There is one exception. The exception is a shifcha kenanis. So what Yishai did was something very, very extreme. He had working in his home a shifcha kenanis, a non-Jewish maidservant, a shiksa. And the non-Jewish maidservant was converted according to halacha, which means that she went to put into mikvah. She observes mitzvahs ki'isha, but she's still a shifcha kenanis. If he would live with her, and she would become pregnant from him, the child will follow the status of the mother. And the mother, now he would be permitted. There are situations where it's not Okay, I don't know all the pratim, but if he would live with her, being that she is somewhat Jewish, she's observant because she was makabel upon herself the mitzvos, and she has the status of a shifra kananis, which part of the halacha, he would marry her. The child will follow, the halacha is the child follows the mother's yichus entirely and has the status of a evet, of a slave, an evet kanani, with no strings attached. It's not an evet kanani that's also a Moavi. Yishai is a Moavi. I come from the yichus of Moavi. There's no way I can get rid of that. There's no way I can shake it off. Any girl that I marry, even with the best yichus, I can't shake off the fact that my children will also have the status of being a Moavi. But there's one exception. If I marry a shifcha, because in Shulchan Aruch, if you marry a shifcha, the child is an eved, and the eved does not bring with it into this world any chelik of the father's tainted yichus of being, of whatever it may be, whether it's Yisrael or Kohen Levi, or in this case, the status of being a Moavi. I'm going to have a child, I'm going to have him, that's exactly some technique similar to this. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to marry her, and we're going to have a child, and the child will be an Eved, and then I'm going to free him. I'm going to give my baby Eved a get shechur. You're now a free man, and basically a get shechur makes this Eved into a ger. Into a full-fledged ger. He's not going to have the best yichus, he'll be a ger, but a ger is allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. There's no prohibition of lo yovei ger bekal Hashem. He'll be a regular ger, he will no longer have the tainted lineage of being lo yovei yovei amoni movi bekal Hashem. This was his plan. And he was about to do it. And he made up with this shifcha, I want you to meet me tonight, in this location. The shifcha did not want to do this. For whatever reason, it's not clear exactly why, and the stories I've read doesn't say why. She went to her mistress. She went to Yishai's wife. And she told Yishai's wife what is about to happen. Your husband, yeah, pretty much, exactly. And therefore, I don't want to participate in this. I don't know why. It doesn't say exactly why not. So she said, she convinced Yishai's wife, you go in my place. It's anyway dark, it's pitch black dark, and you be my double, my body double. Yishai goes into this room, and he's with this woman who he thinks is the Shifra, really happened to be his wife. And it says in the Medrash, I do not know why, that he was Purish, he was separated from his wife for already 3 years. So maybe that's why he didn't detect it was his wife. He did not, I don't know why is that necessary part of the story? Probably because he was able to detect it was not, he didn't forget about his wife for already 3 years.
Same idea, because he said he didn't want to have any children from his wife.
Any more with his wife, because they're all illegitimate. They're all illegitimate, the children. Okay, so he was poireish from his wife for 3 years. Right. He told the Shifcha the plan. The Shifcha backed out. The Shifcha was afraid. So the Shifcha sent Yishai's wife in her place. Yishai's wife became pregnant. The Shifcha did not become pregnant. So no, the Shifcha didn't become pregnant. It's not a kasha. Okay, so the Shifcha didn't become pregnant. But all of a sudden, he gets word 3 months later, oh Yishai, I see your wife is pregnant. He got a bill from the OBGYN, right?
Prenatal
care. What's this bill from the prenatal care? I haven't been with you for 3 years. Oh, I have good news to tell you. I'm pregnant. You're pregnant? I haven't been with you for 3 years.
You've been
cheating on me. You're an Ashes Ish. The child will be a mamzer. 6 months later, the child was born. There was no bris. Not at least we had a discussion that we had in Shukis Shachanach. When the mamzer is born, you make a bris publicly. You don't. You make a bris privately. You don't say the Kari Shnoi B'Yisrael. It's a very big problem when a mamzer is born. This boy was born 9 months later, and he was viewed by society. And word got out that Yishai said that I was not with her. I don't know who she became pregnant from. This child is a mamzer. And this child was not allowed to live with his other 7 children. He did not live in the house. He ate alone. Everything he did was alone. And in fact, the Medrash goes on to say, right, Yishai wanted to put him to death. But he can't put him to death. He put him on the front lines. So he sent him out into the forest. He'll be a shepherd. And he knew that in the forest there are lions, there are bears. And every day he couldn't wait to get a report. We have bad news to tell you. The illegitimate mamzer was eaten up by a lion, was killed by a wolf. he was waiting, yearning to hear. And instead, as the pasuk says, David, this was David, of course.
Right.
This was David. He tore, he defeated all the various attempts of Yishai to have him to be put to death indirectly, because this is a mamzer, the product of his wife's cheating on him. He wanted him to die, but he didn't die. And David not only didn't die, he found HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was rejected. Like, sounds like a really good story, right? Yeah. He was rejected. He's a reject. And through my rejection, you can just imagine what they would write in Mishpacha magazine, right? Through my rejection, I developed, I found Hashem. I grew and I developed and became a very great person. Okay, fine. And he was always an oisvarf. What? He didn't even know.
The wife didn't
want to get in, protest. She didn't want to get involved in this whole thing. She kept. So what happened? So how did all this come to an end? When did all the secrets come out? Shmuel Hanavi arrives. Now this is a very fascinating message. We don't appreciate what this means. When Shmuel Hanavi arrives,
do you have any other children?
Can you imagine when the sheriff arrives in town? Right, when the sheriff comes, everyone gets very nervous. What is he doing here? When the Gadol Hadar arrives, everyone got very nervous. What is the Gadol Hadar, Shmuel Hanavi, doing here in this town? They thought right away, who knows, there's someone in Avera, he's going to strike us all down. They got very nervous. No, don't get nervous. I'm here for good things. I want to make a Zevach. Everyone came together. I'm now here to anoint the Melech HaMashiach. It's one of Yishai's children. Ooh, Yishai's children. First comes the oldest, the Bukhara, beautiful person, Talmud Chacham, Tzadik, said Olam. Shmuel was certain, this is the Melech HaMashiach. Hashem says, sorry, this is not the one. It's not what I had in mind. They go to the next son, the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, every single one Hashem says, this is not the Melech HaMashiach. But Hashem told me that one of Yishai's children is the Melech HaMashiach. Yishai, do you have any more children? Yishai says, no, I do not. Yishai did not commit a sin. We just learned that long paragraph. Yishai only died to lie midvar sheker tirchok. You're not allowed to lie. It's a sin. Yishai said, I don't have any more children. I have seven children. That is it. There's no one else.
He didn't know.
Exactly. He didn't know. Do you have any, are there anyone, other members of your family? Anyone? Say, somehow, someone mentioned, man, there's an illegitimate child that's out there in the field. We're waiting for him to die already. Call him. He comes and he looks different. He's red. He's different. He's a whole different breed. And immediately the oil miraculously jumps from the keren onto David's head. Neged, in front of it. Neged Hashem, Meshichoi, this is the Melech HaMashiach. How could it be the Melech HaMashiach? So it's not clear. Shmuel says, this is your child. Your wife gave birth from you, though the story was revealed, it was not the Shifcha, you wanted to be Matar Yichos, but it really was your wife, this really is your eighth child. It's legitimate, it's not a mamzer, and this is the story of David HaMelech. Again, it's not a medrash, there's no mekar for this story. This story does not exist in any Maamar Chazal. The first record is the Rambam's grandson, David HaNogid. The Chidah, a Kabbalah Sefer, the Chidah today is very popular. They reprinted it with the kudos and commentaries. It's extremely popular. 16 times the Chidah brings down this story. This is the birth of the Melech HaMashiach. Therefore, why is this unbelievable Sefer Mishnah that we're telling you? This is the pshat in the last words, the significance, the depth of the last words of Rus. The Yishai, Hoylides David. Yishai is the father of David. He's the father. Can it be? David, for how many years? He was a mamzer. We didn't even know who the father is. David separated from his wife for 3 years, and all of a sudden his wife, Yishai, separated from his wife for 3 years, and all of a sudden she's pregnant. Who's David's father? Who knows? Who knows?
But if the wife was pregnant and he wasn't the father, shouldn't she be a sota and she'd be brought to bed?
She's worse. She's worse. She's not a sota. The sota is only when you're born.
Only if the husband...
There are technical problems why she cannot be a sota. If you're already pregnant with someone else's child, you're not a sota. And if there are no witnesses, you can't be put to death either. So it's nishtahin, nishtaher. You're not here, you're not there. That's what Hashem is doing. This is the depth. And we laid on Rus. The Yishai, Halides, David. What's... This was a chiddush, because if not for Shmuel Hanavi coming and revealing this information, we would never, no one would ever, ever know that Yishai was the father of David. No one.
You believe that?
What? The chiddah, listen, the chiddah, the Ramani panel, listen.
If you get a better story, I'll believe it.
Listen, we got three big names. No one's going to challenge, no one's going to challenge the Rambam's grandson. No one's challenging the Rambam's grandson. No one's going to challenge the Hadavid Hanagid. I assume it's named after.
Yeah.
It's named after the Rambam's brother. The Rambam had a brother. His name was David, who supported the Rambam, who drowned. So maybe this was named after his. That was named after the Rambam's brother. It's called David Hanagid. The Ramami Pano. Everyone talks about the Ramami Pano. Everyone knows the Ramami Pano. And Chidah. Come on, Chidah. 16 times. Incredible. Shan the Pasik. The Yishai Hoylid Es David. David is legitimate. The father is. And what do we take out of this? So the conclusion, what do we take out of this? There are four different events in the Yichus of David that are bizarre. Number one, what are these are the you take away from these four events. Number one, Lot and his two daughters. How did the nation of Moab come into existence? Incest. How are you talking? Can it possibly be? The daughters of Lot say to there's no one to marry us, therefore we have no choice, we have to live with you. That's a very strange thing. Number two, Yehuda and Tamar. Yehuda, Tamar, she disguised the daughter-in-law. She disguised herself as a zona. Yehuda to go and live with a zona. The whole thing is super, super bizarre. Number three, Rus. This is the way you do a shidduch. You go to the field and you lie down and you take off someone's cover. You take off, you uncover his feet and you say, "Forasta kinofecha ala moscha ki goy lata." Is this the way you do a shidduch? And Boaz says, "Okay, I'll marry you." Okay, bizarre. And number four, Yishai. Yishai is afraid of his yichus, so he said, "I'm going to marry a shifcha." Who would marry a shifcha? Yishai, a tzaddik, yisraelim, he didn't do an aver his whole life. I'm going to marry a shifcha. I'm going to marry a shifcha, I'm going to have an eved, I'm going to free the eved, so I shouldn't leave this world without zera shel kayama, that it's legitimate to come into Klal Yisrael. And this is what he was thinking. Chazal, they ascribe, no machshava, they write about this. What a person is thinking when he engages in these type of things has a lot of significance in the child. And that's the fourth step of the birth of David. Four very strange things happen in order that David could be born. Lot, Yehuda and Tamar, Boaz and Rus, and Yishai with his wife. And all to be this. Why? Because Melech HaMashiach. Why? Because this is already a Kabbalah, which we know nothing about, but everyone says it, so I don't feel ashamed to say Kabbalah, because it's so in the open, that Satan would never be maskim to let Mashiach be born, no matter what. No matter what Hashem is willing to give the Satan as a gift, as a bribe, sorry, there's no Melech HaMashiach. I don't allow it. The only way Melech HaMashiach can come is only through a back door. Has to come through some back channel, some back door, some type of off the record, off the books, things that are not conventional. That's how. Four different steps. Okay, maybe we'll do a little more tomorrow. Maybe we'll start Eicha tomorrow. We'll see. Okay.